Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, it was just a couple of weeks ago in the midst of our justified frustration with Virginia Republican Governor Bob McDonnell over his transportation tax hikes that we also mentioned that it seemed like he was allowing a civil war to erupt within the Republican Party in Virginia in what is a major election year this year. The governor's office is open this year, as well as Lieutenant Governor and Attorney General, and it sounded like that he wasn't doing much to dissuade his Lieutenant Governor, Bill Bowling, from launching an independent challenge in the race that would otherwise pit Terry McAuliffe, the Democrat, against Ken Cuccinelli, the Republican. Well, I don't know how it happened. We don't know why it happened. Hopefully Governor McDonnell did get involved to dissuade Lieutenant Governor Bowling, but on Tuesday, he announced he will not be launching that third-party challenge, which is obviously great news for Ken Cuccinelli in a race that, while early, is showing to be very, very close.
Yeah, and I got to take a little bit of credit here. One, I was among those who saw the comments coming from Bowling as a sign that he was thinking about this very seriously. And, you know, because he was positioning himself as one of those reasonable Republicans, unlike that crazy right-winger Ken Cuccinelli, I saw echoes of Arlen Specter and Charlie Crist and Lisa Murkowski, these folks who want a particular nomination, realize they're not going to get a nomination, and then decide, well, I'm out of the party. I'm out of here, you know, on the high-minded principle that, by golly, they should win, regardless of their ability to win a primary. Well, Bill Bowling said he's not going to run a third-party bid, and in his explanation, we don't know how reliable and how genuine the explanation is, but he said he believes he is a Republican and wants to be on good terms with many Republican allies in the future, so he doesn't want to tear apart the state party. And I hear that, and I think, you know what? Attaboy, Bill Bowling. You've just recognized that there's something more important than your own personal ambitions, and if moderates want to be not so instinctively dismissed as kind of whiny and self-centered and putting their personal ambitions first, you know, stuff like this is a nice example to this, that Bowling is more convinced about seeing a good man win than seeing the guy who was going to beat him in the nomination lose. So it's now just a two-man race, and Ken Cuccinelli has to feel pretty good about that. There were a few Democrats who were so convinced that Bowling was going to eat some of the Democratic vote. I'm kind of skeptical of that interpretation, but I think basically straight up Republican versus Democrat up against party animal Terry McAuliffe, Cuccinelli's got to feel pretty good about his odds.
I think so, too. Oh, and by the way, if opposing the EPA and declaring that water is not a pollutant and that Obamacare was unconstitutional, if that's crazy, count me in the crazy column, because that's the two things that Ken Cuccinelli is best known for in Virginia during his 4 years as Attorney General. So we'll be excited to support him later this year. On to martini number two now. And while we praise one lieutenant governor, another one is creating all sorts of headaches for her party and her state. Florida Lieutenant Governor Jennifer Carroll, CNN reports, resigned Tuesday as questions arose over a company for which she previously consulted. In a two-sentence resignation letter delivered to Governor Rick Scott, Carroll said it was an honor to have served. The resignation came a day after some people were arrested for racketeering and money laundering charges in connection with Allied Veterans of the World's illegal gambling companies. Scott's chief of staff, Adam Hollingsworth, said Carroll consulted for Allied Veterans while serving in the House of Representatives in 2009 and 2010. And while most people, myself included, had no idea who Jennifer Carroll was until earlier today, Jim, Florida is a state where Republicans have to win, especially in the presidential level, if they want to actually win the election. And between Rick Scott's relative unpopularity, his head-scratching flip-flop on Medicaid expansion, the only ones who seem to be facing the right direction right here are the Florida Republicans in the legislature, who are doing a pretty good job of derailing Scott's Medicaid expansion agenda. But when the top two people in your state government have issues like this going on, it's not good for the party.
Yeah, the first observation is anyone who suddenly resigns from their office and it's not health-related, chances are that's a bad sign. Really, I did absolutely nothing wrong. There were no violations of the law, nor did I engage in any unethical behavior, but I'm resigning anyway. You just don't hear that. So where there's smoke, there's fire. I understand she really was supposed to be a rising star with a great future in the party, and now not so much. Just kind of also worth noting, you know, there's a good Twitter feed by the name called Florida Man. And it observes all the rather strange stories you get out of Florida, the bath salts addicted person who ate someone's face and stuff like that. You know, usually when there's somebody's caught robbing a liquor store naked and things like that, that tends to happen in Florida. Well, the Florida political scandals do tend to get into this kind of colorful and extreme and bizarre way. As Florida had shifted to the right in recent cycles, particularly in the 2010 cycle, we on the right really ought to be careful about just automatically assuming the Republican is good government. I don't like scandals, whoever's involved, Democrat or Republican. And if indeed there was some sort of abuse of office or you know, backroom deals or anything like that, it is genuinely disturbing. I hope they get to the bottom of this. And if the lieutenant governor is indeed guilty of some sort of serious wrongdoing, then shame on her. And Republicans have to hold themselves to the highest of standards, regardless of, you know, the media's coverage of these sorts of things or any other outside issues.
Exactly. Yeah. If there's wrongdoing, they have to go. And unlike the other side of the aisle, oftentimes it's not a rally around the scandal-tarred politician, which is usually the Democratic response until it gets to the point where even they can't save face. So hopefully things will get better for the party. Obviously, there are some good points there, as we mentioned, the state legislature, and obviously Senator Rubio is doing a great job. So we'll see how things shake out heading into 2014 there. On to Martini number three now. And Jim, well, it was an interesting day for President Obama yesterday. He did an interview with George Stephanopoulos of ABC News, and he had a couple of problems. Number one, he was asked if, Paul Ryan's budget balances within 10 years. Is yours going to balance? Nope. He just said that he couldn't possibly agree to the type of cuts that Paul Ryan was making. Never explained how he would actually get it to balance under his philosophy, which could be seen perhaps in the Senate Democratic version, which isn't done yet, but suggests $1 trillion in new tax hikes and still won't balance. But the question we're looking at now is George Stephanopoulos saying, what about the school kids who now can't take tours of the White House because you decided to cancel White House tours as a result of sequestration?
You know, I have to say this was not a decision that went up to the White House, but what the Secret Service explained to us was that they're going to have to furlough some folks. What furloughs mean is that people lose a day of work and a day of pay. And, you know, the question for them is, you know, how deeply do they have to furlough their staff, and is it worth it to make sure that we got White House tours if it means that you got a whole bunch of families who are depending on a paycheck who suddenly are seeing a 5% or 10% reduction in their pay.
So there you go. He also blamed Congress for not coming up with a smarter way to structure sequestration, which, again, was his idea, structure included. So, Jim, the White House had nothing to do with the cancellation of White House tours.
Look, I'm just the President of the United States. You can't expect me to set the policy at the White House. First of all, keep in mind, you know, a bunch of Senate Republicans were perfectly happy to give the president more flexibility about this sort of thing. As I have been writing in my Spared from the Sequester series, you know, there's plenty of federal spending that's going on since the beginning of March that involves all kinds of crazy stuff like tearing out roads and gardening at the ambassador's residences and all that kind of stuff. Look, if the president says, look, let's look over this Secret Service budget and figure out what we can do. As noted, it is $18,000 a week in the neighborhood of just under $1 million a year. That's about how much the White House spends on a state dinner. So if we do one less state dinner this year, we can afford the White House public tours. We have to look up exactly how many thousands of dollars. I believe it costs probably about 1 hour of operating Air Force One can give you like 2 weeks worth of White House tours. That's my new measuring stick of how many weeks of White House tours can you get out of each particular federal spending program. Now, finally, just my last way of summarizing where the president assumes power and where he doesn't assume power. If I have this straight, Greg, if you're overseas, the president can kill you with a drone without trial. But if you're waiting online outside the White House, the president has no control or authority over that situation whatsoever.
Exactly right. Well, it's clear he's not either choosing to live in the real world or actually doesn't, because he also said there's no debt crisis. So,
Yeah. Look, I have power when I want to have power, and I don't have power when I don't want to have power. That's the president's view on these things in a nutshell.
Yeah, pass the buck. A long way from Harry Truman. Jim, have a great day. We'll actually talk to you on Monday.
We will. That's off doing a speech. We'll have lots of CPAC excitement afterwards chew over. And so I will see you next week, Greg.
Very good. Jim Garrity of National Review, Daniel Foster of National Review Online will be here in his place Thursday and Friday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join Dan and me tomorrow for the next Three Martini Lunch.